The Lord bless you, precious heart dwellers. Recently, the question came up, does the great cloud of witnesses join in prayer with Jesus, making intercession for us in heaven? Lord, please clarify this for us, because some believe that the saints in heaven cannot pray for us on earth. Jesus began, heaven is a place of tremendous holiness. It transforms all who visit or live there. In heaven, it is completely impossible for its citizens to refrain from prayer. Wow, completely impossible? Yes, when they are permitted to see their relatives on earth, their hearts are bursting with love and concern. That very emotion, as I have told you before, becomes a prayer directly to my Father. It is not like we weigh every word, every motive, every form of petition. It is a heart cry, and we hear all heart cries and treat them as serious petitions to extend grace to that soul who has brought about such a deep response to the plight of their situation. I have told you this before, Claire. A sigh, a heartfelt and authentic sigh for the troubled conditions of another goes directly from your heart and lips to my Father. It is truly a prayer. Now I want you to look at this for a moment. You have heard the cry of the poor. Lord, help us. We are in desperate need. So I ask you, how can such a cry come from the soul in heaven and not be heard immediately? How can this come about? I answered him and said, well, I suppose if there's a wall or a distance such as beyond the stars, how can they hear us? He replied, and you already know the answer to that, but for the sake of those who have not studied this question or sought scriptural evidence, I will explain it once again. You know that when you received me as your Lord and Savior, you were born again of the Spirit, and I came to live in you, right? Yes, I believe that, Lord. You also know that in my triune being, I can never be isolated from the Father or the Spirit. Yes, Lord, I believe you are truly one with the Father and the Holy Spirit and can never be separated. When I said, my God, why have you forsaken me? I was speaking as one cut off from the perception of my Father's presence. It is impossible for him to abandon me, because we are one and the same, and because I live in you, beloved, my Father and the Holy Ghost are also living in you. We are never separated. I do believe that, Lord, although there are times when I cannot perceive your presence, so I must go by faith that truly you are with me and will never abandon me. Well, if you ponder these truths deeply, you would arrive at your answer. It is because you live in the earthly dimension that you fail to perceive how very truly we are connected. It is only when you still your soul and enter into my rest that you perceive my presence in your heart. Yes, your heart is my throne room on this earth. We dwell in you, Claire. Now take this a step further. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. John 14:23. I have allowed the saints in heaven insight into what is going on in the earth. I have provided windows into earth where they can look and see what is relevant to their lives in the past. They can see and understand with total clarity all that is taking place in Earth. No knowledge is withheld from them without a very special reason. They can see the cause and hidden circumstances of all the dynamics between peoples, armies, rulers, with perfect clarity. Nothing is hidden from them. You might ask yourself, why have I given them this privilege? You can answer this simply from Paul's description. We are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses cheering us on. And what does that mean? It means that those in heaven are still participating in the great plan of salvation. They have finished their course on earth, and now in heaven they participate in bringing others to me. Please understand and get this deeply ingrained. Everyone in heaven is working to bring all souls to me. No one is sitting on puffy white clouds playing a harp. No one is forever hanging out and playing games to pass the time of day. No one is sleeping. No one is disinterested in what's taking place on the earth. No one is lying on a velvet couch with angels feeding them grapes and wine and whatever else they desire. No one in heaven is living for themselves. All are living with me and for me, doing the works of their heavenly Father to help bring all souls to salvation. Yes, there is recreation. All that is in heaven was created to bring joy to my children. So of course there are seasons for playing, exploring, learning, and opportunities to become whole, to finish their childhood if they were abused, to learn the things they longed to learn on earth. But understand this, every soul in heaven lives to glorify me and bring me happiness. Just as I have brought them unspeakable wonders never imagined by the earthly mind. No one in heaven lives strictly for themselves, because those who are in heaven find their greatest joy by bringing joy to others and to their Father, as well as the angels and saints. Heaven is a massive celebration of life, continually flowing from the graciousness of the Father. And yet, in the midst of this triumphant life, there is yet the memory and knowledge of those still suffering on the earth and what it cost me to reconcile them to the Father. Yes, every tear will be wiped away, it is true, but not until there is no longer any suffering on the earth, not until all are reconciled to the Father forever. In the meantime, there's work to be done. There are things to be learned and mastered, things that bring glory to God in the highest and peace to His people on earth. And for this very reason, those who are found worthy to come to heaven have His highest interests at heart and long to be part of bringing every soul to me, to be born again, to be loved as never before, to be forgiven of their sins, to be given hope of the happiness they could never have on the earth. Yes, it is true, those who long to see others saved are the ones who are worthy to enter heaven, which is not only a place of blissful joy. If you can imagine something like a gigantic multi-storied factory measuring 100 miles high and 100 miles wide and 100 miles deep, and here I'm limiting my dimensions to help you wrap your mind around it. If you can imagine such a place and then see angels delivering packages, working on architectural plans, delivering messages, helping artists paint and musicians sing, going back and forth, cooperating with every other venture others are preparing for the lost. If you can imagine such a place, you have a clearer conception of heaven than angels floating on clouds. We are busy, busy, busy in heaven. And imagine, too, waves of worship sweeping through every floor of this cube, catching each one up into an ecstasy of worship, like a tsunami overpowering a landmass, and then subsiding, leaving all inebriated in joy. Yes, that is what it's like here. And then the work commences again, in joy and thanksgiving for such wonders. And what is the work? To make God known and loved and served on the earth, and to bring all of humanity into the sheepfold of salvation and blissful union with their triune God. Now, if you have pictured this, you will understand that heaven is in complete cooperation with the Father to bring all men to God. And of course, they all pray for you who are still struggling on the earth. Hardly a breath leaves their inner being without a prayer directed to God for your sakes. You are to become like gods, not in the sense of having the all-sufficient power, but in the sense of having the burning desire to see your brothers and sisters come to know Him. Yes, you become like parents of those still on earth. You become your brother's keeper, leading him to the knowledge of God. Prayer never ceases in this dimension because souls are caught up in an ecstasy of love for mankind, and they do only what they see me doing to accomplish this goal. With the help of the Holy Spirit's living, throbbing breath of love moving through them and all of heaven continually, eternally. When I told you to pray without ceasing, I did not say, look, you'll be in heaven soon, and then you won't be able to pray for anyone on earth, so you'd better get all your prayers in now before it's too late. Because once you get to heaven, there's no more prayer. It's all about cotton candy clouds and harps and angels and the rewards of your labors on earth. Of course, I didn't say that. I did not put any conditions on them to stop praying in heaven. And why should I? They will see me praying in heaven just as I prayed on the earth. And in all things, they are to follow my example. So I simply said, pray without ceasing. My people, you are ignorant of what transpires in heaven. Everyone is busy working for me, arranging circumstances, inspiring, teaching, assisting, with only one goal in mind, the salvation of the lost. How can the great cloud of witnesses help on earth if they're not permitted to pray in heaven as they work with you on earth? Prayer is your number one vehicle and grace to bring souls to me. So why would you stop doing that in heaven? The answer is simple. You don't. In heaven, there is constant prayer, constant worship. In heaven, there are prayer groups that assemble for different purposes. In heaven, the compassion of their hearts is so very fired up, they could not stop praying even if they wanted to. Yes, pray without ceasing is just as much a mandate in heaven as it was on earth, except thousands of times more powerful because everything and everyone is oriented in the powerful current and slipstream of grace to bring in the harvest of those still on earth. How do those in heaven know what to pray for and when? Holy Spirit, in a very crude way, could be likened to a ginormous cloud of data on the internet, which we suspend and store from Earth. It is designed to transfer and make accessible all that we share with others or store for our own personal use. Holy Spirit knows all things at all times and is never lacking in understanding or information. So he conveys this knowledge to each soul on earth involved on a need-to-know basis. That means that when a saint's little grandbaby on earth has a serious health issue, that knowledge is conveyed to them immediately so they can pray for the child from heaven. Beloved ones, there's no real separation between those in heaven and those on earth, except for a tissue-like veil that is easily penetrated by prayer and contemplation, inspired and aided by the Holy Spirit. In heaven, everyone knows everyone else's background, struggles, defeats, and conquests. Nothing is hidden in heaven, and that is why no one wants to go to heaven until they're purified of such things as jealousy, anger, and corruption. When a soul has left the earthly body and wants to go to heaven, they must first get a good cleaning off and reorientation to understand that nothing in heaven is hidden, nor is there any condemnation when things are found out about another. The river of healing and fruiting trees growing beside it are for this purpose, as well as time spent alone confronting sins that have been hard to get rid of, except through spiritual means, and a purifying fire that reveals their true ugliness and how that affects others. We are one body, the body of Christ, with one head, Jesus Christ. I do not wear two different hats, one for heavenly administration and one for earthly administration. I do not have two brains or two heads. This is a serious error in thinking, stemming from man's lack of ability to contemplate and enter into heavenly realms without serious effort and a very pure heart. Understand, everything in heaven is geared towards the salvation of souls. All the angels and saints are busy 24/7, arranging things for millions of souls to be saved. Can you imagine a dimension like that without prayers being offered up 24/7? It simply is not possible, because salvation comes by grace, and grace is released by prayer. So very simply, prayer never stops, not on earth or in heaven. Pray without ceasing was not a casual mandate. It is a command to be perpetual in bearing the fruit of the salvation of souls until all souls are saved.